your success.
No, not really. She missed the 8 years and now. She died like she would have been so thrilled.
That was the next year, wasn't it, after she died?
The next year.
Right.
Yeah, 8 years and now was right after she died. It was almost like that was her wish when she was up in heaven, get him a series, you know? But,
you know, I've seen that so often, and it's kind of sad where the parents miss the success of the kids, and they've worked so hard and a sacrifice. Let me ask you, from age, literally from age 7, I know at age 6 you won a screen test with MGM. You went out because of a beauty contest or something.
Yes.
And you failed the test, am I right?
I failed the test.
What was it like to have rejection at age 6? Does it bother you?
Well, in the beginning it did, but then you toughen up, you know, you let it roll off your back. That's part of the game. My mother used to say, that's part of the game, you know, you're going to get rejected. And always think that you're going to be rejected before you are, and then it'll never hurt your feelings. You won't be suddenly shocked.
From age 7 to 21, though, Dick, you did nothing but work on Broadway. It was all Broadway until we hit 21. But my question is, do you ever feel that you missed part of a childhood because you worked so much?
No, let me tell you. People come up to me and they say, well, you missed your childhood. You should have been out playing baseball and football with the kids. Believe me, I had so much more fun than those kids. I was traveling on trains and sleepers, going to interesting places, and then you know, there were always lots of times you always had to have an understudy, and some shows had a lot of kids in it, so that was always more fun when there were other kids in the show. But even if there was only one kid, you had to have an understudy, so you always had somebody to be with, another kid, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I remember I played the Belasco Theater on 44th Street in New York when I was 10 years old.
Wow.
And I was exploring backstage, and I found a secret elevator. I never told anybody this. It doesn't have too much to do with what we're talking about.
No, please, go ahead.
I'm just trying to show you how much more fun a kid actor can have. I found a secret elevator, and I went up, and it took me up to David Belasco's apartment. He lived in the apartment over the Belasco Theater.
Oh, jeez.
You remember David Belasco, actor?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I found a secret apartment in an elevator. I mean, things like that. And then when I played the Center Theater on Broadway in a play called The American Way, the Center Theater was at 48th Street and 6th Avenue. And then a block away, a block up, is the music hall, you know.
Sure.
The music hall. And I found a secret passageway from the Center Theater underground, and all of a sudden I was in the music hall.
Boy, talk about networking at a young age. You know, I heard Ron Howard said the other day, he had mentioned that he was asked for his autograph before he could even sign his name. I mean, was that happening to you at such a young age?
Yes, that was. But here's another thing.
What's
you
that?
Know, you only hear about the kid actors that have gone bad. You mentioned Ronnie Howard.
Yes.
He was a child actor. Like, maybe he's had a great life.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely.
And Shirley Temple, the same thing. She's had a... Believe me, there's so many of them that have had wonderful lives.
Well, you know...
They don't publicize that. They only publicize the ones that have gotten into trouble.
Let me tell you, that's why I started Legends of Success, because nothing but negative stories hit the headlines in the media, and I said it's about time we do some positive things to help other people hear from the Dick Van Pattens of the world. Now, my next question is, okay,
yes,
you going through this, you know, you must have been a little upset because you and your father were supposed to be inseparable. You played tennis all the time. You guys shoveled snow to play handball in New York. So that must have upset you a little bit. Did you ever resent your mom a little bit for the divorce?
No, because my mother never fell out of love with my father. He left her.
I got you.
So it was the other way around. I was upset that he left her, and I remember begging him to come back, you know.
Wow.
And she wanted him to come back, and it was very sad. And
sure.
She never went out with anybody else after he left her or anything. I mean, that was her real love, but she just got so obsessed with the kids being in the theater and everything that she sort of ignored him, and he met somebody else.
Well... Let's contrast that a little bit now. See, you've been married to Pat for, what, 50 years?
It'll be 52 years this April.
God bless you. 52 years, you've got three sons, Nels, Jimmy, and Vince, that you're all very close with, and for a long time, I don't know if they still do, they live right down the street from you in Sherman Oaks. What is the secret to being in the business so much and having such a close, loving family in an industry that nothing but destruction is seen?
Yeah, I hate to... See, I know a lot of great parents that have had awful times with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an awful lot of luck involved in it. I think I've really just been lucky, you know? Although I must say that my family has always come first before my career. I mean, the career comes second. I'm always, you know, thinking of the family first. In other words, I could get fired from a show. I never have been.
Yes.
And it wouldn't bother me, but if something happened in the family, that would really bother me, you know?
So you've really kept it together. And all three boys, I understand, are in the business.
Yes, well, not really.
No?
Vincent Van Patten was a child actor like me.
Right.
So was Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
They worked all the time. Vincent is now doing that show, The World Poker Tour.
Oh, yeah, sure. What about Nels?
Nels teaches tennis.
Oh.
In fact, right now as we speak, I can see him. He's out in the back there with some students teaching him.
Really? Now, this is okay. Now, let me ask you this. You have still have a regular tennis group. It used to be with Alan Alda, Christy McNichol. You guys still hanging out?
Where did you get all this? This is amazing. Where did you get all this information? Every Sunday, Gene Wilder, Alan Alda, Mel Brooks, and Carl Reiner come over and play tennis here. That's right.
Yeah, well, we...
How did you know that? How did you do it?
Well, it's just our job. We like our guests, so we do a little bit of research. But thank you. That's what I wanted to hear. We try to get thorough.
No, it is very thorough. Anyway, well, Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner have been very good to me.
You know, and...
I've been in four films for Mel Brooks.
And we're going to take a real quick break, because one of the questions I want to ask you when we get back, I want to hear you give us a funny anecdote no one's ever heard about Mel Brooks, because I love that guy. And Carl Reiner, we want to hear some of the behind-the-scenes stories. Ladies and gentlemen, Dick Van Patten is our exclusive guest on Legends of Success. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, this is Dr. David Watson, headmaster at Community School of Naples in Naples, Florida. And you're listening to Legends of Success with John Resnick.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Officials in New Orleans say they believe it is a search and rescue operation that's resumed this morning for the one worker still missing following the partial collapse of an under-construction hotel there on Saturday. The sister of the missing man, Anthony Margrutta, says her brother wasn't supposed to even be at work on that day.
Praying and I'm hoping and just I feel like I'm losing it.
Two workers were killed. Several others were injured in the collapse. The Kurds now striking a deal with Syria and Russia for military assistance. Syrian and Russian troops are heading to the border to help the Kurds repel the continuing advancing Turkish forces after U.S. forces were ordered to move out of the region by President Trump. Police in Florida say someone mistook a loud noise for a gunshot and it set off a panic at a mall in Boca Raton over the weekend. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine. When you want to learn who America's most successful people are, read our Forbes 400 list. When you want to hear firsthand how they got there, listen to Legends of Success with John Resnick. Legends of Success is one of the most original radio programs in years. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
Dick Van Patten, at age 16, I have it on good authority that you dated a stripper and she made you get a tattoo. I want you to say yes or no and confess to this.
Yeah, that's true. She said, I bet you're not brave enough to get in your church, she said. I said, no, I'm brave enough. They used a real needle.
Ow.
I can't stand blood, and the blood's streaming down my arm. And she said, does it hurt you? I said, no, no, no. And then I thought, you know, I'd make out or something. Nothing.
Dick Van Patten is our exclusive guest today on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. Dick, we're talking about, you've had the opportunity to know and be friends with, play tennis with, some of the all-time greats like yourself. People say, there you go, John, blowing smoke again. Look, listen, we only bring on the great people, in my opinion, and according to the emails as well we're getting. Let's talk about Mel Brooks. This guy is a character. Do you have an anecdote you can give us about Mel Brooks and or Carl Reiner that no one's ever heard before?
Mel has been very good to me. He uses me in all his movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with him. I have lunch with him almost every day. And he does do funny things. I mean, he's a comedic genius. Of course, he's very upset now. June 6th, you know, and his wife died.
Yes, yes.
And he's not taking it easily. He's almost angry about it. He's just so upset. But I have lunch with him every day, and he just still does funny things. We went to dinner the other night. I don't know whether I can tell us on the radio whether you can picture it.
Okay.
He ordered a wine. He gets these very expensive wines. I don't drink, but my wife does. And he would get these very expensive wines. And then, you know, when the waiter gives it to you to test it, he would take a sip and he would roll it around in his mouth. This was just the other night.
Yeah, right.
And all of a sudden, he just let it all drool out of his mouth. He looked like he was testing it, and then all of a sudden, he just purposely, to make everybody laugh, just let all this red wine drip down his chin and everything.
What a character.
He does things like that all the time. He's a very funny man. And very smart. It's funny, you know, he's not educated. He comes from Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and he grew up. His mother was a seamstress, and his father died when his mother was a widow, young, and he had two brothers, and they all slept in one bed, and his mother slept in the living room.
Really?
And he comes from he didn't get that much of an education, but he's so smart. His mind works so quick. If I was ever in a position where I needed to have help real quick, somebody to think fast, I'd like to be with Mel Brooks.
Hmm.
However,
yes.
If I was on that show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire,
yes.
And you can call up and ask somebody to help you,
right.
I'd like to have Carl Reiner, because he's very educated and very knowledgeable. They're both smart, but in different ways. One is very educated, and the other just has a very quick brain, you know?
Well, they've been incredible together over the years as friends and professionals.
They're wonderful.
Yeah, amazing. Well, let's talk a little bit more about Dick Van Patten here. Dick, you have, as you look around, and, you know, they say, first of all, most, I don't know what the percentage is, but most people that have their SAG cards, their Screen Actors Guild cards, which allows them the permission, so to speak, to be on the screen or to act, most of them aren't working. What did you do different? What have you done over the different? Yes, we realize you've got a lot of talent or you wouldn't be there, but you still had to do things that were different. Help out our listeners who are trying to make a difference in their life.
Well, it's a combination of a couple of things. As a kid actor, my mother said, don't ever turn down a job. Take it, take it. Somebody else will get it. Why let somebody else do it? So I had that in the back of my head. I very rarely turn anything down.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is this. A lot of actors, when they get to a certain plateau, and they ask to come in and read, they always say, oh, I don't read anymore. You know, I don't want to read for it.
Gee.
I've never done that. I told my agent, I'll read for anything. And every big job I've gotten, I've had to read for it. But I'd rather do that. I'd rather read for it. Because if you get the job without reading for it, you're always worried, well, am I really the right way? Am I doing it right, you know?
Sure.
So now, I know a lot of actors don't agree with me. And they won't read for things. They reach that one plateau where they don't have to. But I keep reading. And I think from being a kid actor, I'm a good reader. I think that I read very well, cold.
You know,
because I grew up doing it.
I think you also have an appreciation for being an everyday person. You see, the picture we're starting to get is a guy who has kept a marriage together for over 50-some years. God bless you, okay? Because it's so difficult these days for all of us. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
Thank God I married my best friend. I love her. Not much of a challenge to keep that together. but also, you know, there's got to be some humility here, and there also has to be, I would bet, some loyalty. Now, I don't know your agent, but I'm willing to bet you've been with him for a